I had an opportunity to fill the pulpit here for pastor, and it was exciting. It was nerve-wracking, and it was exciting, and you know, God blessed and met my needs that day, and I trust that he met those that were here as well. And I find myself again this morning, obviously standing here, but once again feeling very excited and very thankful that God has given me an opportunity. He laid on my heart a message some time ago: what is your level of resistance? What does that mean? We're going to find out. We're going to find out exactly what that means. Resistance can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. You think about some of the electronics and things that we have these days, light bulbs, as a matter of fact. You think about these things, and there has to be the right level of resistance, electrical resistance, for these things to work. Your computers, the cameras, the microphones, all these things have to have the right resistance. Otherwise, they won't work. You've heard the verse many times: resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do we have a full understanding of that? Perhaps we do. Perhaps we have yet to learn more about that. It's not our key verse this morning. In fact, if you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, if you're not already there, our source text being already read for us, I appreciate that so much. Our key verse, as you find it on the front of your bulletin this morning, is verse 4. Along with this idea of resistance, verse 4 says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Well, we're going to explore this morning, by God's grace, what that might mean. There's a couple of sides to perhaps every argument that you might hear, and certainly today we're going to look at a couple of sides of this idea of resisting, both the good and the bad, by God's grace. So, the questions, of course, come to mind: does resisting Satan really work? We've heard that Satan is more subtle than any beast of the field. He is very crafty. There is not one that can stand against the wiles of the devil. So how in the world could we possibly resist that and win? We can't in and of ourselves. We can only through the strength and the power of Jesus Christ. So who is it that this verse is talking about when it says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin"? Who is it that we're resisting? Are we resisting Satan? Are we resisting the world? Are we resisting our neighbors that we don't like? Are we resisting ourselves sometimes, perhaps, when we find ourselves in difficult situations? Are we resisting the temptation to give in and give up? We'll find out. We'll talk about it today. How do we resist? When do we resist? What is it that we're resisting? All these questions just come to mind when we read a verse like this: "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Verse 3, if you look at verse 3, we're going to look back here just a little bit. Verse 3 says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." What is that talking about? We find ourselves up against the world, if you will, up against temptation. We find ourselves up against sin. Are we not commanded that we should turn from our sinful and our wicked ways, turn to God, and shouldn't we be living right? There's a whole list of commandments that we're supposed to be following, only sometimes, well, we goof, oops, and sometimes it's a blatant, "I don't like what that says, and I'm going to do my own thing." Oh, be careful. Be careful when we get to that point of, "I don't like that, because it's not convenient for me to resist against that." Be careful. We have to resist that temptation, and we have to resist that sin. So if we consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, of course that is talking about, as verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. We're talking about Jesus and resisting the contradiction of sinners against himself. In verse 2, it does say that Jesus endured the cross, he despised the shame, and is, as that verse says in the latter part, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's consider for a moment him that endured. This is Jesus, of course. We need to consider his endurance, and we're going to look at it perhaps in a way that maybe you've seen it before, but I want to look at it this morning very, very personally to me. As God gave this to me, and as I studied for this message, it became very, very real to me personally, and caused me really to struggle with this a little bit, because it was suddenly better than any reality show you'll ever see on TV, right? We've been kind of joking around about reality shows a little bit here and there, but it did. It became very, very real and very personal to me as I studied about this. So if we want to consider the endurance of Christ in the sense of our key verse, remember it says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So if we consider Jesus Christ in that light, it's very simple to see that it's a very natural progression. Jesus Christ endured, he resisted against the sin, and he went to the cross and he shed his blood, praise God, he shed his blood, died for you and me, was buried and was raised again. Let's look at this a little bit deeper. How do we apply this to us personally? That's great. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Yes. Praise God, Jesus Christ is the Savior. How does that apply to me? How can I make that real to me so that I can have a very personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Savior, the living Son of God? How can I possibly have a relationship with someone of that stature, if you will? Back a few chapters, Hebrews chapter 4. You can turn there if you'd like. I'm going to read just a couple of verses there. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to look at verses 14 through 16. The Bible says, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now hold on a minute. Let's go back to that verse 15. That seems like double speak almost. There's a couple of negatives there. There's a couple of words there that kind of, for we have not, that cannot, and sometimes it gets a little confusing, but let's look at this closely. We have not an high priest. In other words, we don't have a high priest that, what does the next phrase say, cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We do not have a Savior who can't feel our infirmities. Isn't that what that verse says? We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but, whoo, praise God, was in all points tempted like as we are. Oh my. In all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, we're going to start making it personal. When we are faced with some overwhelming circumstance, when we are faced with some temptation that we can't possibly see beyond, when we're faced with looking at ourselves through the eyes of God's Word and seeing the very sinful, very wicked nature of our own being, how can we possibly go on with encouragement? How can we possibly go on with joy knowing that we in and of ourselves are wicked, vile people in and of ourselves? Well, we can't go on. But praise God, we're not in and of ourselves if we know Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ dwells within. And the Bible says Jesus Christ was without sin. So we can go on in the strength of Jesus Christ if you have Jesus Christ living within. When we're faced with such great situations sometimes, great sins, great temptations, we've all had the temptation. We've often had the situation where we feel like, God, there's no way that I can go on. Come on, how many have had the idea that there's a situation, I cannot go on with this. I can't do it, Lord. You're going to have to do this for me. I can't do it. I give up. We have to be very careful there. We have to be very careful. Let's make this personal again. Like we said, Jesus was facing crucifixion. Jesus was facing the cruelest form of death that there was. Jesus was facing becoming very sin for the entire world. I have never had a temptation. I have never had a situation of that magnitude. I have never faced a situation where I was going to become the sin. I was going to become the sacrifice for any of you. I've never faced the situation where I'm going to become a sacrifice for the sins of my neighbor. Can you imagine the very nature of the pressure and the stress that Jesus Christ had to feel? The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are. We can make this very, very personal. We're not demeaning, we're not taking away from the deity of Christ. The Bible tells us that in his manhood, in his human state on this earth, he was tempted in all points like as me. If he was tempted just like me, can't I understand that Jesus Christ also faced the same temptations that I do? Jesus knows. He knows how I feel. He knows the struggles that I have to go through. Jesus Christ faced some very, very difficult situations, yet without sin. He was, in his state of being as flesh and blood, he was every whit in every way a man, a human, just like we are, facing a responsibility so great that I believe Jesus Christ, as a man on this earth, seeing the situation, may have been tempted to say, forget it. Can you put yourself in a situation where it's so unbelievably huge? Didn't we say that there are times that we just want to say, forget it, I can't do it? If Jesus was tempted in all points, like as I am, perhaps Jesus Christ felt the very same temptation. In fact, the Bible tells us, if we look at the accounts of Jesus Christ praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, what were the first phrases that Jesus said? Be careful. He said, God, if there be any way to let this cup pass from me, if there be any way that this cup could pass, that I not have to drink it. He was tempted to say, forget it, I can't do this, God. And yet, Jesus Christ did not give in to that temptation because his very next phrase said, nevertheless, God, not my will. That tells me that Jesus Christ was a man. He was very filled with feelings and with stress and with responsibilities that he never, perhaps, he knew that he was going to take them on. But as a man, couldn't imagine that the weight of this entire world was going to feel like it did. Have you ever had the weight of the whole world on your shoulders? Well, we think we have, right? We've been in situations where I can't handle it. Jesus Christ, I believe, was tempted to give in to the temptation that said, I can't go through with this. Nevertheless, the Bible says, he did not. Turn to Matthew chapter 26 real quick with me. We're going to look at some scriptures today. Matthew chapter 26. I want you to see it because it's very important and it is very real. Matthew chapter 26. Looking at verses 36 through 39. Matthew 26, starting in verse 36, it says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Verse 38 says, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 39 says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He did not ultimately succumb to the temptation. He did not give in to any temptation to betray his mission. The Bible tells us in another account, over in Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22 and verses 43 and 44. The Bible says, "And there appeared unto, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." Let's back up just a verse. Verse 42 says, "This Jesus speaking, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, as it were, was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground." The pressure and the stress on Jesus Christ at this point caused him to be physically exhausted, having to have an angel sent to him from heaven to strengthen him, not to say, "Come on, you can get up, you can go through this, come on, you can do this." No, strengthened him so that Jesus Christ could, what did the verse say? Prayed more earnestly. He needed strength to go on. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Perhaps a reference to resisting unto blood, striving against sin. Jesus was facing the sin of the entire world, taking it upon himself, becoming that very sin of the entire world, and was going to be crucified for it, for us. The tremendous weight of that, having to resist that so hard, not to give in to that temptation. Jesus Christ, being a man, being tempted to not fulfill his God-given responsibility, he had to resist the temptation unto blood, as it were. Do we resist temptations to fail God with this kind of love? Jesus Christ did this out of love for us, out of love for the world. Jesus Christ willingly took this upon himself so that we would not have to die to go to hell. Willingly took it upon himself so that we had an opportunity to live in heaven forever. Praise God. Do we resist the temptation to fail God with this kind of love, with this kind of devotion, obedience to the word, with this kind of resolve? Do we have the wherewithal in our minds and in our hearts to say, "I am not going to fail God. I am not going to give up on what God has told me right here in his word. I am not going to give in to the world. I'm not going to give in to the sin." Do we have that kind of resolve? Now, we cannot ignore the rest of the key verse. "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." We can get more of the sense of this back in Hebrews if you look at verse 3. We can't ignore the rest of that verse. Verse 3 says, "For consider him that had endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Endured such a contradiction of sinners. Have you ever felt backed into a corner? Have you ever felt like there was no escape from what you were facing? Let me ask you this. In that situation, when you're backed into such a corner and have no way out, what is our natural tendency? Is our natural tendency perhaps to lash out and start getting angry and start just lashing out in any way that we can to try to make a way for ourselves to get out of it? And at that very moment, it doesn't matter who might be there on the other end of that lashing out. Perhaps remembering that Jesus Christ was in all points tempted like as we are, if we feel these kinds of temptations, if we have these kinds of feelings, Is it not understandable that Jesus Christ understands? The Bible tells us. He knows how we feel. What would have happened had Jesus Christ given in and lashed out? What would have happened? Remember that Jesus Christ, even as a man, according to Matthew 28, verse 18, was given all divine power. That verse says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Even as a human being walking the face of this earth, Jesus Christ had the very power of God. Had he given in to the temptation and lashed out from where he was at, could he not have destroyed everything that he was up against and not had to face that? Could he not have gone and just destroyed it all and been done? Sure he could have. The Bible says he's given all power in heaven and in earth. Praise God, he didn't do that. Because had he done so, it would have directly opposed his very own mission. It would have directly opposed God's purposes. It would have directly opposed God's commands to love your neighbor, to love your enemies, to bless them that curse you, to do good to them that hate you, and to pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, as we read it in Matthew chapter 5. It would have directly opposed God. Praise God, Jesus did not give in to that temptation. He was physically exhausted. He was strengthened through God. Are we striving against sin to this magnitude? Are we putting that much effort into what God has given us in our salvation? Are we striving that hard against the sin? Are we working very hard to keep our heart with all diligence, as we read it in Proverbs? The Bible says that our heart, out of it are the issues of life. Are we working to keep our heart close to God? Or are we just doing whatever we can to get by? Are we just doing whatever we can to, you know, we're good people. We don't do a whole lot of terrible stuff. I might speed a little bit from time to time. Okay? I might not quite come to a complete stop. Hollywood stops, right? I might obey most of the commandments. Most of the time, almost completely, or not. Are we working that hard as Jesus Christ? Can you see how personal this is? Jesus wants this relationship with us. He understands how we feel. He understands how we are tempted. It should be so close and so personal to our own hearts. If it's not, please, we need to be on our knees, asking for forgiveness, asking for strength from God to make it that personal with us. Do we work to not get too upset at things and at some point give up and give in and go ahead and just, you know, throw our hands up in disgust without praying more earnestly? Have we taken the time to pray more earnestly through the strength of Jesus Christ? That's the only way that we can do it. Even just as Christ himself had to be strengthened from an angel of God so that he could pray more earnestly, not so that he could get up and, okay, God, here we go. No. He had to be strengthened physically so that he could get back on his knees and continue to pray to a holy and a just God, praying for those that he was becoming the sacrifice for. What is your level of resistance? Perhaps today we need to search our hearts. It's a difficult task. It's the hardest thing that we may ever have to do, is to look at our own hearts through the eyes of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Perhaps today we need to get on our knees before God and start again to earnestly contend for our faith. Praise God, He's still there. While we are living, don't we still have a chance? If we're still alive, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So if you haven't died yet, you haven't been judged yet, there's still time that we can come before God and say, God, forgive me. Praise God. He wants to hear from us. He wants to strengthen us. Perhaps we do know somewhat of resisting things. Perhaps we do understand how we can stand against certain things. But is your resistance directed the right way? What? What does that mean? Are we resisting? Are we striving against sin? Or is our resistance just the opposite? Resistance can be very bad. Can it not? It can be very good if you're driving along and you're on a mountain road and, well, it's a sheer drop-off over there. Well, there's a guardrail. Praise God for that. If we happen to get some loose a little bit in some gravel, that guardrail's there to resist us from going over the side. Praise God, that's good stuff. Whew, thank God for that guardrail. What if God says, Glenn, I want you to talk to that guy that just came in your flower shop. Uh-oh. What if he says, hey, Steve, you work with a bunch of folks that don't know God. You're with them every day of the week. Why don't you go talk to someone? You know what? That guy over there in the corner, Joe over there, he's hurting. He's not himself today. I got the answer for him. I can help him. I need you to go and talk to him. Oh, God, I'm busy. The phone's ringing. I got emails going on. I don't know Joe. He's going to think I'm a whack. I need to go and talk to him. Are we resisting in the right direction? The Bible says in Romans 1:21, we're going to look at this side of resistance for just a minute. Romans 1 and verse 21, it says, when they knew God, talking about the Jews, talking about those that Jesus was present with at the time, walking the face of the earth with at the time, says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Do we glorify God as God today? Do we give God the glory that is due to him? In that same chapter, in verse 28, it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. If, when you get home tonight, or today, if you look up Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 28, read down through those next few verses. It's very quick. It's a quick read. But I want you to notice how quickly things went from they knew God, but they glorified him not as God, how quickly it went to, oh my, I can't even say it without looking at it. It's being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, and it continues. How very quickly resisting God as God turns into hating God. It doesn't take much. If we resist God, he's not going to force himself on us. He's not going to say, but you know what? Come on. He's going to stand right there. He's going to wait for you. We cannot go on thinking that God is just out there somewhere doing whatever it is that God does. We can't just keep on thinking that, well, God's out there taking care of the world, and he's making it rain, and he's making the sunshine, and he's too busy with 6.5 billion or trillion people around the world. I don't even know what it is. It's not important. There's a bunch. There's way too many that are dying and going to hell. We can't go on thinking that God is just out there doing his own thing. God is very real, and he is a very personal God. Have you felt in any way at any time the touch of God and Jesus Christ on your life, knowing that he is real to you, if there's been one time that God has shown himself strong on your behalf and you recognize it, you need to understand God is very, very personal. He wants that relationship with you one-on-one. Now look, friends, God nearly destroyed the earth once, and it would have been a complete loss, except one man and his family kept resisting sin, kept resisting society, kept resisting the world around them. One man and his family were striving against sin, trying to tell people and let them know of the coming wrath of God. Haven't we seen it lately? Haven't we seen prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes in the Middle East and around the world? Are we telling people, look, the wrath of God is coming, compelling them to come in, the Bible says, taking them the gospel, telling them that Jesus Christ is very real and he's very, very personal. He's not God up there with a lightning bolt ready to strike. Jesus Christ is our high priest. You know what a priest is? A priest is the one, in its original sense, a priest is the one that goes on your behalf before the very Holy of Holies to offer up sacrifice for your sin. Jesus Christ is our high priest, going to God on our very behalf, saying, God, Father, when I see them, I see righteous blood. There's pure blood when I look at each individual down here. God, don't you see it? Look. God, I died for them. Their blood is pure now. If we've accepted that, there is no sin. The Bible says that Jesus did this without sin. There is no sin. Jesus Christ shed his blood on our behalf. If we believe that and take that gift, God sees us through Jesus' blood, sees us as pure. One man and his family were striving against sin. I want to read for you something out of Zechariah, back in the Old Testament, near the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah, and it's chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. I'll close here in just a moment. I appreciate your patience. Praise God. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9 starts and says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute truth and judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." But they refused to hearken. Pulled away the shoulder, stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, the Lord, as the Lord cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, the Bible says, and I, the Lord, would not hear. That's what it says, verse 13. Don't let this happen today. It is not too late. We can still find grace. Jesus calls to us saying, come unto me and I will give you rest. Don't forget that Jesus Christ, our high priest, the one that goes on our behalf to God Almighty, praying for us, the Bible says, that Jesus prays for us. As we see in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows how we feel. If we think that Jesus can't possibly save us because of the things that we have done, think about how Jesus felt while he was dying on the cross and seeing God the Father turn his face away from his own Son. Jesus Christ did not sin. And yet God turned his face. Jesus knows how it feels when God turns away. He knows how you feel today under the pressures and things that you're in. But Jesus, in his righteousness, as the Son of God, after a crucifixion and burial, did raise up from the grave, defeating the sin of the entire world. Woo, praise God! He defeated the sin of the entire world. And he can certainly, most certainly, he can save you out of the situation that you're in. God says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Amen. Whosoever, the Bible says, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Don't resist God today. Don't resist God. Direct our resistance in the right way. Striving against sin. Do not strive against God. God's calling and wants you to come today. Let him come into your heart. If you already know him, let God strengthen you so that you can pray more earnestly, that you can be renewed and begin again to contend for your faith. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, how we do rejoice and thank you for Jesus Christ, the very person, the very personal nature of Jesus Christ that, Lord, knows how we feel, stood in the gap and took the punishment for our sins. Thank you, Father, that as you look down for those that have accepted Jesus Christ, you see purity. Strengthen us, Father, to resist, to strive, working together to exhort each other and one another, exhorting unto good works, striving against sin. Father, we pray today that your will would be accomplished, Father, in this moment. Father, may your Spirit fill this place, and may your Spirit, Father, work in each and every heart and life. God, we ask it today in Jesus' name. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, as Diane quietly plays, today is the day. Behold, now is the time of salvation, the Bible says. Now is the time for us to get right with God. Today is the day to accept that free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. I trust that God has been able to speak to your heart today. If there is one here today that does not know this very personal Jesus Christ, would you please allow me to pray with you? Just raise your hand real quick. I will not embarrass you. I'm not a pastor, but I am a sinner saved by grace. And God has given me the commission as well to go and tell. And I trust that you'll accept it in love today, that I want to pray with you. Let God help you. Let the Lord help you in your heart today. Every head bowed, every eye closed, not a soul looking around. Today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've been facing some temptations, you've been facing a situation that you don't know if you can make it through, would you raise your hand? Acknowledge to God that you recognize our fallacies. You recognize your own weakness and need to be strengthened. Would you today pray and ask the Lord to help strengthen you and pray more earnestly? Amen. God loves you. God wants to help you. Amen. Father, as you've seen the hearts and the hands today, Lord, I pray that each heart, each soul would come to you just as they are. Father, recognizing that without the strength of Jesus Christ, we cannot win over sin. But God, you already have. Jesus Christ has already defeated sin. It's only up to us to accept that and to go in Christ's strength. Father, I pray that your blessings would be upon this people today, upon this message. Father, thank you for the patience of your folks. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. I pray, Lord, that you would work in each heart as you've seen the need. Father, I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Dismiss us, Father, with thy blessings. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, dismiss us today. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you.